are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop. We're hanging out here with two of the most seasoned veterans of the touring circuit of the world, an iconic band. No, I'm just hyping you guys up a little bit. That was a bit much, right? We got Year of the Cobra, friends of the show, friends of... I've had you guys up for a couple times on Metal Shop. This is... I've had you guys up a couple times on Loud and Local. This is the first time I've had you in for Metal Shop.
Yeah,
stoked to be here.
Yeah.
Totally different. It's an entirely totally different studio. Yeah. Totally different, like, I mean, what... It's like more of like a, it's we're kind of like in like a demon's cave.
Yeah.
We've got like goblets of fire.
Yep.
And like Dio posters all over. I'm glad you guys are in the realm of Metal Shop. So.
Yeah, this is awesome.
So first off, congratulations. Your new album, Ash and Dust, is available on Prophecy Productions.
Yep.
Your record release show is Saturday, November 23rd at Substation. Congratulations. It's huge.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we're really excited about this record and put a lot of time and energy into it. So it's nice that it's finally out.
Yeah, we've been waiting.
So honestly, it feels like this is the biggest release to date for you two.
I think so.
How does it feel on your end? Would you agree with my statement?
I definitely think so.
I mean, releasing an album is always like full of excitement, stress, and fear. You know, you put so much kind of blood and effort into it, and you kind of let it fly. You're like, well, I hope people like that.
Yeah, because you don't really know what the reaction's going to be.
Especially with this record, because we kind of threw some curveballs and, you know.
It's something a little bit different.
How so?
Just the style of songs, the style of music.
Sure. Yeah.
It really kind of,
Spread our wings a little bit and weren't afraid to kind of take a left when you would think we'd go on straight, you know.
Okay.
So each song is kind of different, but it all still feels like a Year of the Cobra record.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's expand upon that a little bit. Like, what made you decide, like, hey, let's just go for it? Was there a conversation about that, or did it just feel natural?
No, I was totally natural. We
totally
don't really
natural.
Talk about things.
Yeah.
we just do it.
It's, I guess, in all honesty, this was the first record where we threw songs away.
Oh, okay.
For the first record, we went in with eight songs, and that's what made the record. For the EP, we went in with five songs, and that's all we had. So with this song, we took a little bit more time, and I think we scrapped like four songs. You know, we're just like, it's not really fitting. It's not the direction we kind of see this record going, or where the band's going. So I think.
I mean, we still might use the songs. You know,
sure.
There's still a
down
couple
the line,
of them that I really that are still stuck in my head.
The B-sides.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's kind of one of the bigger points. You know, we kind of took our time crafting the songs a little more.
And you guys went with Jack and Dino here in Seattle.
Oh, we did.
So does he play a part in like helping you guys decide, or like how hands-on is he?
He's interesting. He doesn't do a lot of producing. He really just kind of goes in and follows your lead, and just, you know, he'll only kind of chip in if you really ask him to.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, he'll just say, you know, okay, sure, yeah.
But what he is he's very patient. So
efficient.
And super efficient. So if we had an idea or this vibe or a tone that we wanted,
he could totally get it.
And he was super encouraging and wouldn't stop till we were super stoked about it.
Yeah.
Where in the past, I think, you know, it's just like we're under the stress and we just kind of nail it through it. Where Jack was very welcoming.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's got to be cool to kind of like be in that environment and just know that, like, I don't know, man, if these walls could talk, right?
Oh, man.
Oh,
it was crazy. Yeah.
I mean, just Jack himself, he's so smart, and listening to him talk, it was like school.
And, you know, he doesn't talk too much about, you know, past bands he's recorded, but he did drop some, like, Nirvana stories and stuff where we're kind of like, whoa, that's a trip, you know?
You kind of want to do the, like, Chris Farley thing, like, hey, man, remember that one time?
Yeah, totally.
You recorded Nirvana? That was awesome.
Yeah.
So I did introduce the band, but I should go back a little bit. Maybe I'm assuming that we're a little too comfortable here. We got John Barry Smith and Amy Tung Barry Smith from Year of the Cobra. That is their names. And I guess, so Amy, you are the vocalist and bassist.
That's right.
And John, you are the drummer.
Yes.
On this album, did you guys expand and play some, like, was there any keyboard or some triangle? what did you guys, what did you guys add to that?
Yeah. No, we didn't. We did some keyboard. We did like some piano, some organ. I think I played the B3.
Yeah.
And
one song, it's pretty prevalent. You know, in the past, we've always kind of had organ or piano, but it's more of, in the back.
Yeah.
Where it's right up front on one song. One of my favorite songs on the record, actually.
Yeah.
It's called Demons.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's cool because, you know, I mean, anytime that we record something, our goal is always to be able to recreate it live. You know, so adding in this keyboard kind of adds another element to our live show.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you going to be able to do that? Are you going to take I mean, I'm assuming you're playing bass and keyboard at the same time on the track?
Yeah. So. Uh-huh. It's pretty rad.
You got to get a keytar.
So, like, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
I'm totally down.
That's awesome. Or teach one of your kids how to play keyboard. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, they know how to play.
Yeah. Hey, that's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. You guys, honestly, I'm, you know, and you guys probably aren't allowed to say this, but I'm going to say this, being the one of the hosts of Metal Shop and the host of Loud and Local, you guys are hands down one of the hardest working bands in the Northwest in the sense that you're like a touring machine. I'm assuming you guys have to like kind of hold down some sort of a job here when you're back in mm-hmm. once in a while, you know, and your parents, but you're touring badass musicians. And in the past year alone, you've hit Europe a ton of times. You've done a bunch of world or U.S. tours, at least. Or is that just me making this up? How many freaking tours have you done in the last 12 months alone?
We've been gone for months.
Yeah, man. Four or five.
For a while. I mean,
we were essentially gone from May to August.
Yeah.
So. We spent the first half of the year basically just recording, and then after that we were on
the road. We did a West Coast tour, mm-hmm. and then essentially two full U.S. tours.
And we did a little bit of Canada,
and then Europe for a month. So this was our heaviest year as far as touring.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And John, you grew out a bit of a beard / like Lemmy mustache kind of thing. You just let it go. You just let it go on tour. Screw it.
It started in May. Usually on like a big tour, I'll grow some sort of facial hair.
Sure.
Usually it's a mustache. And it started in May, and I started the chops. And we were on the road for so long, and I was like, well, screw it. I'll just kind of let them go and see what happens. And here we are. I've got this ridiculous mess on my face.
We're both bald guys.
Good.
We're both bald guys, but we both are, I believe, blonde hair-ish.
Yeah.
So I can't get past the like month where it just looks so sketchy.
It's so brutal.
It just looks like dirt.
The first time you grew a mustache, you would dye it. It was so light.
I call
and
it.
And he's
the,
like, it's so embarrassing. It just looks like my lip is dirty.
It's like, I call it the 20-year-old speed dealer stash.
Yes.
It's like
just
so scummy.
Dirty.
But like once
been
it grows out,
it all summer
fills
long.
In.
Yeah, right.
but it, you know, it got there. You know, and now it's like full on rocker mode.
That's
so
good.
Yeah, so I mean, I saw a picture on your Instagram, your social media for Year of the Cobra of you guys playing in a cave. Is this for Prophecy Festival or tell me about that? And was there any worry about playing so heavy that something was going to happen inside that cave?
Man, that was easily probably one of the coolest venues I've ever seen or even got to play in.
Yeah.
When we got there, we walked in and we just looked around like our jaws dropped. We're like, oh my
just
God,
driving
we're playing
past
here?
Yeah. The mouth of the cave.
Yeah.
I mean, when you just saw the opening
both like,
of the
oh
cave.
Oh my God.
We were like, what?
Which country was this in?
Germany.
Okay.
Yeah, Southwest Germany.
Balva.
Yeah. And they have shows there. Usually it's like
orchestral.
Orchestras and that along those lines. So it's very secure. It's not like a sketchy cave. It is a legit venue, but
that's awesome.
It was so beautiful and it was
enormous.
Packed, you know, I think there's like almost 1,700 tickets sold, you know, people there that day. So it was an incredible experience.
So tell me about the sound there. How was the sound inside the cave? Was it good?
Surprisingly, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a concern going in. We're like, okay, there's all these metal bands playing in this cave. It's probably just going to be bouncing all over the place, but they had done some sound conditioning, and they were pros. So, yeah, it sounded really cool.
That's awesome. So on one of the last interviews I had with you two, we talked a little bit about you guys played in this like remote small town, and people walked for miles just to see you guys. How about these? The last year since I last talked to you, what are some cool memories? Are there any things that really stand out? Like maybe I'm assuming that you guys were on a little bit bigger level on this tour. But were there any like shows or bands you met or any things that really stand out?
It's funny because we played that city again.
Nice. Yes.
And we played it again because we just said we had to play there again.
Our booking agent turned it down.
Yeah.
You know, that's a small town, so what they were able to offer wasn't quite what we were normally getting, but we're like, we're going to go back and play that town.
Absolutely.
But as far as other shows,
we got to shout out that town. What is it?
Slavonice.
Slavonice in Czech Republic.
Nice.
The venue's
big in Slavonice.
Yeah.
Yes.
The venue's called the Baracos.
Yes. It was incredible.
But anyways, you were saying
standout shows, standout cities.
We got to play with one of our favorite bands and some of the nicest dudes ever in Amun-Ra.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was just wearing their t-shirt yesterday. Yeah.
They are incredible, man.
I saw them with Behemoth, I think. They came through here, United States.
So. We played with them in Amsterdam, right?
Yeah, and it was the...
It was a church.
Yep.
Amun-Ra in a church, huh?
In this converted... Yeah.
But it was... Yeah, church. It was converted years and years ago. I mean, the Stones played it back in the 70s or 80s or something like that. That was awesome.
That was beautiful.
Wow.
The Paris show was great.
The Paris show with Monolord was so fun.
Yeah. Super nice dude.
You played with
Monolord.
Yeah.
That new record is so
awesome. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't stop listening to that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a huge highlight.
Hell yeah.
Hanging out and playing with those guys.
That's cool, man. Well, you guys are going to have a very rad show on the 23rd.
Yeah.
It's the record release show at the Substation. 2 stages, 8 bands, dude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Witch Ripper, Pound, Eris, Wine Grow, Glass Goat, Don McCreevy's Sulfuric, and of course, Year of the Cobra. Now, we got to talk about Wine Grow for a second, because that is a Wine Grow or Wine Grow?
Wine Grow.
Because Ryan the Beard showed me Wine Grow. He played them for a beard pick on Metal Shop a few weeks back, and they're awesome.
Yeah, they're from BC and coming through on tour, and just kind of happened to work out.
Right on. So for this, is this something where people should buy tickets in advance, or is it something where we buy tickets at the door?
Both. If you buy in advance, you save a couple bucks.
Nice.
12 advance, 14 at the door. So it's both stages, so... You know, I don't think it's going to sell out. So you can get tickets at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, we will sell out.
Yeah, hopefully we will. And so, if we're listening to the new record, how many songs from that are you going to weave into the set list, or is that a surprise?
I think it's going to be a surprise. I mean, we're still kind of figuring it out right now, but I think there's going to be a lot of them. I think the majority of the set list is going to be the new album.
Sweet.
Yeah. Since the new album is definitely a bit different, we wanted this set to be different.
Yeah.
We might pull out some oldies that we haven't played in years and years.
Yeah, we're kind of talking about that. We have to relearn them.
I know. That's like, oh man, we've got a couple weeks to relearn some old songs.
We were downstairs, and when you guys came in, we saw our friend Matt Koch.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was mentioning, like, I'm so stoked to see how much you guys have grown and just the amount of support you guys have been getting. It's not like it's some kind of fluke thing. You guys have been busting your asses and working hard. But I got to say, it's really cool because just from doing Loud and Local these last 4 or 5 years, I've really seen you guys just really building and building and building. It's this gradual thing. Like, every tour gets bigger and every album gets bigger. Was there a moment where the both of you just had to realize, like, just go for it, become a touring and recording machine, when you decided to not just go, like, halfway with this? Was there a time where you had to reason with yourselves, like, this is gonna consume us?
Yeah, there's been those conversations.
Or was it like that the whole time?
You know, it was our first record label, Steve from STB.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had just put the album out and, you know, there's trepidation. It's like, oh, we've got kids, we've got these other things. And he's like, you know, if you have good opportunities, just say yes and you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been our mentality mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's not easy, but.
No, it's a lot of work.
we make it happen.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Right on. Well, I'm stoked for you guys. And I got to ask, because Ryan the Beard, he just got back from a big tour with the Number 12 Looks Like You. They brought Pound on tour with them. Two-piece band Pound as well.
Mm-hmm.
They just got back from a big nationwide tour. You guys have both have experience with bands with you know, probably a lot more members, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Is it easier to tour as just a two-piece? Is that preferable?
Well, I mean, there's good and bad, you know. It's nice because there are less people to argue with, I guess.
But at the same time, if you guys are getting in an argument, you see each other. Like, oh, yeah. There ain't no one else to talk to.
We don't really ever argue.
No.
We get along.
Fair enough.
The hardest part, really, is just carrying all the gear.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just the two of us. So if we have, stairs to go up, it's the two of us carrying every piece of equipment up and down those stairs.
that's the main drawback.
That's it, really.
A big 15-passenger van, so... When we're touring in the States, it's only the two of us. So it's like each person has their own bench, which feels like your own room.
Right, we have a ton of space.
Yeah.
So that's the pro for sure.
That's awesome.
But I don't know. I don't think there's any pro or con either way. I mean, you know, when you're in a band, those guys end up being, your best friends.
Yeah.
So, hanging out in a small van with your best friends is not a bad thing.
Hey, turns out you can hang out with your best friend all over the world.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
That's pretty awesome. So, it's no secret with you guys. You guys have a couple kids, and shout out to the kids. What are their names?
Cooper and Zeke.
Cooper and Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So, first off, how do they feel about the music? Are they more so just like fans of like hip hop and like the little kids like SoundCloud rap, or are they little rockers?
Our daughter likes it.
Okay.
She's into it. She actually has her own band.
Wow.
Yeah, she's 10. She plays bass and piano, but she plays bass and sings in her band, and it's a 3-piece right now.
You must be proud.
They have a name. They're called Kittens of Doom.
Oh my God. I gotta get them up on Loud Mobile.
They wrote their first song called Cats in a Tank.
Brutal.
Yeah. It's so good.
That's killer.
They have
my God.
Logo. It's great.
Yeah.
So dope.
So she's totally into it.
Yeah.
She's really like, she's an artist.
That's cool.
Through and through. And our son's really...
His musical tastes haven't really developed yet,
Not developed. I don't know.
More just into video
games
and stuff.
That's a nice way of saying it, but he really likes hip-hop.
Okay, fair enough.
He put on some music today.
Does he teach you guys, the little dances that he learns?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we know the dances.
I actually even told him tonight he put on some... I don't even know what it was. I'm like, dude, you can listen to that, but in your room.
See, at least you're kind of accepting. But
in your room with the door closed with earphones on.
Yeah. Do you know the name of him?
I don't know what it was.
No, oh, my God. That's amazing.
She was just like, where did you learn this?
I'm like, who's showing you this?
Not us. Have they come on tour with you guys? How many times have they hit the road? And when are we going to get them to work? Being the roadie or the merch guy?
Man, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
The family business.
Oh, right. God. Right. It's starting to increase. Now that they're older, 7 and 10, they can travel a lot easier.
Yeah.
They can handle the big drives. So
they get it. Yeah.
The goal is...
They've done well. West Coast tours with us. When we did Canada, they came for the last week of Canada with us. We played a festival in Canada over the summer, and our daughter was the merch girl.
Yeah. Nice.
It was all ages, and she killed it.
Yeah, she was awesome.
She was so good. Talk to everybody,
Yeah.
She's like slipping them Kittens of Doom demos.
Yeah, I know, right?
Year of the Cobra was cool, but you should check out this.
Yeah. Here's our first demo. Check it out.
Yeah. That's amazing. So you're listening to Year of the Cobra. It's Metal Shop here on The Rock, and they're actually going to be playing again. Their record release show is Saturday, November 23rd at the Substation. Tickets are available now. Not just Year of the Cobra, but it's 2 stages with 8 bands: Witch Ripper, Pound, Eris, Wayngrow, Glasgow, Don McCreevy's, Sulfuric, to be announced, another band, and of course, Year of the Cobra. We're going to go into a couple songs from the record. We got Ash and Dust, the title track, and then we got Divine. You guys cool with sticking around a little bit more and diving deep a little bit more into the psyche of Year of the Cobra?
Let's do it.
All right, here's a couple songs off the new Year of the Cobra, Ash and Dust on Prophecy Productions. It's Metal Shop on The Rock. We'll be right back. Metal Shop here on The Rock. A couple songs by Year of the Cobra. You know, I gotta dissect the album a little bit more, guys. How long were you working on the record? And do you, because you guys tour so much, do you work on songs when you're on the road? Or is it something you have to be in at home, like in your practice space? Or how does that work out for you guys? What's the dynamic?
The ideas from songs, a lot of it comes from on the road, you know. But when we start actually writing the music, we have to be back here.
Yeah.
You know.
And since we were on the road so much the previous year, too, we kind of wrote it in chunks. We'd be home for a couple weeks or a month.
And write a couple songs and then go back out and come back. And we just kept doing that.
And a couple of them, man, we've been playing live for 6 months.
Right before we even recorded it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of them I didn't even have lyrics for, remember? I just kept making it up on stage.
That's awesome.
That was pretty funny. What are you going to say tonight?
I don't know.
You should ask your daughter. She'll have some ideas.
Yeah, she'll have some lyrics.
That's awesome. So, okay, I am not a bassist. I'm not even really a musician. I can tinker around on a guitar a little bit, but I know that there's going to be a lot of gear nerds here that wanna know, Amy, what your rig is, because your tone is incredible. Okay. It's just this, like, and especially if you buy the record on vinyl, like if you buy any of Year of the Cobra on vinyl, just drop it down. Maybe medicate a little bit. Listen to some Year of the Cobra. It'll be very, very heavy, and just the tone is awesome. So for the gear and instrument nerds out there, can you dissect your tone a little bit? Like what amps and bass and pedals do you use? Or what do you got?
Yeah,
what do you hook up with?
I play a Rickenbacker. It's the first bass I ever bought. It's an 83.
Hail Lemmy.
And I play through, I split the signal, so I play through two Ampeg 810s, and I play through two Ampeg SVT heads. But one of them is an old 80s amp, and the other one's kind of like, I don't know, a mid-90s. So it's two, even though it's the same amp, there are two totally different tones that come out of it. So that kind of helps. And then I have just a ton of pedals that I split. So, you know, a couple of distortion pedals, a couple fuzz, phaser, wah, octave.
Is there something, have you tinkered around with that a lot to like really like get that specific tone?
Oh, sure.
And is it always something that's constantly changing, or are you stuck with this right now? Like, this is it?
No, it's constantly changing. You know, there's always ideas of, I really want to get this sound or that sound, or, you know, I'm looking for something else right now too, to kind of add to it, maybe different fuzz pedals to kind of switch out.
Okay.
But you know, there's so many options out there, so it takes a little while to kind of figure out which ones work. And then, you know, even if you say practice a pedal, like you go to a store and you play through it, but when you put it in your chain of pedals, it can sound completely different, you know. So,
and it always evolves after we record a new album too.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And then even just going on tour, like when we go to Europe, you know, I have to play through different gear because their electricity is just different.
Oh, yeah.
So the two Ampeg SVT heads, like, it just draws too much power, so it loses a lot of tone. So then I have to play through different amps, and then I have to completely change the pedals.
Sure.
You know.
Do you rent gear when you're over there?
We do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
So either of you, I mean, obviously you guys have a big name out there, and have you been approached to do any kind of sponsorship, or do you guys have any specific, like maybe even just pick or strings or, you know, drumsticks? You guys have sponsorships?
Yeah, I'm endorsed by Pork Pie Percussion.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, great sounding drums and been playing them for a long time.
Yeah.
So that's what you use? The Pork Pie? Cool.
Yep.
Awesome.
And I'm endorsed by Labella Strings.
Right on.
Yeah, I've used them exclusively for 10 years.
Bridge City Sound for pedals.
Oh, Bridge City Sound for pedals. Yeah, so I use two of their pedals right now, but I have a boost pedal that I got to put back in there. But I use their fuzz, their beard fuzz, and then they made a Year of the Cobra distortion pedal.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's so rad.
did they have you really dissect like how to like decide like what it would sound like, or did they just kind of figure out like she would like this, or
no we
you had some input?
Yeah I had some input, you know. There was another pedal that I had used that I really liked, so we kind of played around with that idea.
Oh, cool.
And like what they did, and you know messed around with it a little bit. So
it's cool.
Yeah, he etched, you know, our logo on it and stuff.
Wow, that's cool. Where do people find that? Is it still available?
Bridge City Sound.
Yeah,
you can contact him.
Yeah,
his name is Caleb. It's in Portland.
He's out of Portland.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
really
easy
cool.
to find.
Yeah.
Wow.
So speaking of like these, you know, kind of endorsements, but also like these relationships you've forged through, you know, being a freaking touring machine, a mammoth in the world of metal. Tell us a bit about hooking up with Prophecy Productions. And this is your first full length on the label, I think.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How did this relationship come about?
It's kind of a cool story. We played Psycho Las Vegas in 2017.
Yeah.
The owner of the label, Martin, was there. And he was still living in Germany at the time.
Okay.
And he flew
Hence
out.
Why he would have the Cave Festival.
Yes.
So he flew out to Psycho, and he, you know, his whole goal was to see every single band that wow. played over those 3 days.
That's awesome.
And he was already had plans of opening offices of Prophecy in L.A., so he wanted to build the label and sign some American bands.
Hell yeah.
So he came and saw our set, and he only was going to stay for 3 songs, and he stayed for the entire set. And was just super excited about us. And later he told us, he's like, you're the only band that I saw the entire set. He's like, everybody else, I saw 2 or 3 songs and I'd move on.
Yep.
So.
You got him.
Yeah. It was. he didn't reach out right away. It was probably a couple months after that we got an email and we're like, oh,
who's
interesting. Prophecy
right.
is hitting us up. So.
Yeah.
Start of the conversation. And
yeah. And it's interesting because it's so different than any other label that...
I mean, they've done a lot of really cool stuff. Zaster and Alcest, some like black metal and like some really gnarly...
And that's what we liked about it was that it was the music that they, you know, released was different than all of the other labels that we mm-hmm. worked with. And
sure.
I thought it was, you know, we both thought it was really cool to kind of just open ourselves up to a completely different group of people.
Sure.
You know? Like, when we played Prophecy Fest, nobody knew who we were. But we, mm-hmm. I mean, every show after Prophecy Fest, and the Prophecy Fest show was probably the 3rd show or 4th show that we played on this whole tour. Every other show, people came and they said, I saw you at Prophecy. I had to come back and see you again.
There you go.
Yeah. I'd never heard of you before because our music's so different from, you know, any of the bands that are on Prophecy. So, you know, it's exactly what we were looking for.
Yeah. It might not be like a streamlined sound of Prophecy, but at least they can probably trust that it'll be something good.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know... I mean, they've been a label for 25 years.
Yeah.
So the reach in Europe is massive. And that was kind of another main appeal because we do so well in Europe. So it just kind of made sense. And after talking with them and, you know, they're all good people. And it's been awesome so far.
Sweet. So, you know, I got to go back a little bit. You know, I was curious. We were talking about, what was your daughter's band name again?
Kittens of Doom.
Kittens of Doom.
Yes.
So going back to your early days, both John and Amy, what were your first bands? What were their names? Can we do a little YouTube research if we on our own? What are the names of your bands? And you know, what were your first bands?
My very first band, I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
And we were called Chaw.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Just punk rock. You know, we both kind of grew up in the punk rock community. And,
totally.
Was playing in punk rock bands forever.
Was that in Washington or?
Santa Cruz, California.
Okay, sweet.
Yep. Which had a thriving punk rock scene at the time. And, you know, I feel extremely fortunate to grow up and see that kind of DIY ethic and be able to see bands that I respected, you know, almost every weekend and, you know, got to know them and play shows with them later. So it was super nurturing and exciting time to kind of grow up as a young punk rock surfer kid in Santa
Cruz. Shout out Shaw from Santa Cruz.
How long was that band around?
Oh, not long. Probably 6 months. And then I started a band called Three Left Standing. And we actually kind of toured a little
That's
bit.
That's a good name.
Yeah.
Sounds hardcore.
Right, you know?
Let's get the Three Left Standing Chaw split LP out on Prophecy Productions 2020. Amy, what about you? First band.
I don't even remember. I played in a band. Well, it's not my first band, but it was kind of like the main band that I did before this one. It was called HDR. We're in L.A. It's a 3-piece, just a stoner rock band.
Well, what did it stand for?
It really didn't stand for anything.
Okay.
The band started as a joke. We're like, okay, it'll be really funny if we played stoner music and talked about big trucks and machines.
Yeah.
And, you know, like fast cars, whatever,
you know,
just being completely like off the rails, ridiculous about it. But, you know, we were together for like 10 years and we did some tours and, you know, played a lot of stuff. And it was, you know, our music was on MTV and
holy crap,
Jackass movies and stuff.
Really?
So, yeah, it was really cool. So
Holy crap. That was
kind of the main thing that I did.
Amy played in that band Warped Tour 2009.
She
was 8 months pregnant.
Yeah, what? With our daughter.
Oh my God.
That was crazy.
That's insane.
Had to hold the bass to the
sideways. I had my friend had to come in and plug in my pedals for me because I couldn't bend over.
That's hardcore. Sweating out there on Warped Tour.
It was with so hot.
Holy crap. That's epic. Yeah. I want to get a photo of that. Yeah. Is there any
I've
photos
got,
of
I've got, oh, yeah. There are photos. It is actually online.
It's amazing.
So you said that was Los Angeles?
Yeah.
So that's where you met down in that scene?
That's yep. Right. Yeah, I was playing in that band. He was playing in another band.
What was the other band?
At that time,
Jesse Deluxe.
Yeah, Jesse Deluxe was like a female fronted kind of Queens of the Stone Age-y Eagle cool. of Death Metal style band.
Right on.
So yeah. We met on Halloween night.
Yeah, Halloween.
Was it a show?
It was
a show.
Absolutely. We both
for
played
a
show.
HDR show?
Yep.
Yep.
And your band too?
Yep.
You played together?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, wow. We played many shows together.
Rock and roll love story.
I know, right?
That's amazing.
He even filled in for us on drums.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, for like
a year.
See, I'm learning all this too. This is really cool. I'm gonna actually go home and YouTube these bands.
Oh my God.
I need to find some chop.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we played like two shows. One was like a skateboard demo, and another was like a house party. So,
okay, no recordings out there.
No, Three Left Standing. You might find some stuff.
Okay, no ska bands. No ska bands. Where you guys were in SoCal ska punk?
No.
Okay.
No
ska past. Okay. All right. Moving on. So like growing up, you guys both grew up in the like Southern California area. Was there a light bulb moment for either of you that like you can remember and you can really recall? Like you saw a music video, your brother brought in a CD or something. Like what was that light bulb moment that said, "Hey, I want to pick up an instrument"?
Oh, I've been playing music my whole life. I started playing piano when I was 4.
Oh, wow.
And I always loved it. I knew that's what I honestly, growing up, I wanted to be a classical pianist and a composer and a conductor. I wanted to go to Juilliard, and that's what I wanted to study. And I kind of went the opposite direction.
Did you go to school for music?
I did study music in school, yeah. But I studied jazz. I always knew I wanted to play music. It was, you know, classical music is still kind of my favorite, something that, you know, I will always play for myself for the rest of my life. So.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You got the chops.
Yeah.
Not just one of us reckless rock and rollers. You're really classically trained. What about you, John?
You know, my stepbrother was a drummer. So
he
didn't live with us full time, but he always brought over his practice pad. So, you know, I'd play around on that, and he had this really vast CD collection. You know, everyone had CDs at that time.
Of course.
So
you had the big binder.
Yeah. And so I would just listen to like his CDs and stuff, but it wasn't really until, you know, I got hooked and started going to punk rock shows at like, you know, 14, 15 years old where I'll never forget the first punk rock show I went to. Like, I just stood there and was like, oh my God, what is this? This is the coolest thing.
Do you remember the bands? Or was it like just a local?
It was all local bands. Yeah. Mock from Santa Cruz.
This is in Santa Cruz?
Yeah. Was one of my favorite bands for many, many years. But I just remember standing there and just, I think I even pointed. I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget it.
That's so cool.
Just laser beam focus on what they were doing and like how they were playing and what they were playing. So, yeah.
So, growing up, we're bald now, but yes. We both had hair, I'm assuming, at a time. What was your hairstyle? Were you a mohawk, spike guy, long hair, mullet? What were you?
I had a little of everything. Growing up in Santa Cruz, is punk rock surfer town, so there's
bleached hair.
Yeah, bleached hair. It was long for a bit.
Didn't you dye it black?
I dyed it black. My mom got pissed. And
see, that's why we're bald, is because we did all this crap to our hair.
But the best part, though, is she's mad that I dyed it black. She's like, all right, you need to bleach it, you know, back blonde. And I'd grown out like an inch by then.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. The dips were black, but the roots were like bleached blonde again.
So
and
punk.
She was just like even more mad. And I was like, oh, this is the best hair ever.
Right?
That's awesome.
I actually asked that one time we interviewed Kirk from Crowbar, and we were like, so did you ever have long hair? He's like, bro, of course I did. We all had long hair. And he's like, and then I kept it growing when I shouldn't have.
Right?
Like, that's awesome. The skullet. Yeah. The Hulk Hogan. What about you, Amy? What was the first concert you ever saw?
The first big concert I ever saw was INXS.
Nice.
but the first punk rock show I saw was the Mummies.
Oh, cool.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that I was going to, I mean, I came
out covered
in.
It's like an iconic
band. Yeah, covered in mustard and flour. And I snuck out of the house. I was like, What am I,
oh, it's all good.
What am I going to do?
That's amazing. Where it was, did you know about the mummies, or like who brought you?
It was just, I just went with friends. I went to, you know, in Berkeley, there's a pretty, you know, legendary punk rock club called Gilman. It's all ages and it's volunteer run. It's still around.
Yes.
They still have a lot of great punk rock shows there. And, you know, that's where we went every weekend, you know.
Oh, so you must have some really cool stories about like the old like punk and hardcore scenes in the Gilman. What are some other bands that you can recall? Did you ever see like Green Day?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw Green Day. I wasn't really into Green Day back in the time.
But
I was
like Rancid?
Yeah, heavier stuff.
Oh, okay, okay, cool.
But yeah, just a lot of really great bands there.
Yeah, that time in the Bay Area
was
incredible.
Fun.
You know,
just a ton of people.
All these bands who, you know, a lot of them are big now. I mean, Neurosis used to play Gilman all the time,
I saw Neurosis. Back there at Gilman.
Yeah.
And then we see them, you know, with Amon-Ra.
Yeah, I know, right? So it was I feel very fortunate to grow up in the Bay Area at that time. And I mean, I don't know.
I'm curious, though, what the scene would be like now, you know? I mean, it's still going. I just don't know.
Can people even afford to live in the Bay Area anymore?
Yeah, right?
Unless you have like $1 million tech job.
Right.
Totally.
No, that's true.
I don't know. But okay, so what were your first favorite bands? Like the CDs that like really stood out to you? Like I know the first concerts you saw, but what were like the ones that like, you know, you were like knew all the words to and really your first favorite bands?
Yeah. I mean, for me, really, the first one I loved was Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Yeah.
You know, and The Cure. I've always loved The Cure. They're one of my favorite bands ever.
For me, you know, it was bands in my community. Some of them went on to tour a lot. Some of them didn't. Bands like Theory 66, Good Riddance.
Yes. Well, they just played El Corazon on Sunday.
Yeah. Blast. That's what I was into. And, you know, I would still just like read all their lyric sheets and just stare at the CD covers. And
that's the best, right?
Yeah.
There's a book that I read, I think, about that punk rock community called Dharma Punks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you know those people?
Joe from Fury 66 is a big part of Dharma Punks. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. The reason I brought that up is because I remember they were at a Blast concert.
Yeah.
In the book. So interesting. So. Shout out Dharma Punks. So you guys obviously out there putting your band out, just like waving the flag of Northwest rock and doom and stoner rock and just like killing it all around the world. What's a piece of advice for people you looking to take the next step and maybe tour overseas or just do a big national tour or maybe just do a little West Coast jaunt? What's a piece of advice you'd give people?
Be deliberate. Don't jump on everything that's offered to you.
Yeah.
Take the time and have a good recording out, you know?
Right. I mean, just remember, you know, this is as fun as it is, it's a business,
right.
You know, and
totally.
You really have to think about it that way. You have to think, you know, really level-headedly and make very deliberate decisions. You know, it's not just, we're going to go out and have fun. We're actually working.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of work. It's not easy. So you have to, you know, and just, you know.
It's not the music friendship. It's a music business.
It's business, yeah. You know, like going out on tour or recording an album, there's, you know, hours and hours and hours of work that you put into it to just get there.
You got to be professional, right?
Yes.
Especially, you know, there's so many bands out there. If you're that band that shows up late, you're that band that plays over your set time you're, you know, you're kind of an a-hole, that doesn't get you very far.
I know. I was going to say probably the most important thing, too, is just to be nice.
Yeah, totally.
You know, just be nice. Everybody's trying to help you, you
yes,
know? Be
right.
nice.
And you can kind of tell when people are maybe just being nice to you because they see you as their next, you know, the next step up. Like, just be, is it?
Genuine. Just be genuine.
Just be nice to be nice.
Right.
Exactly.
I don't know, when you're talking to people, don't just wait until the next time you can talk. Listen to people.
Yeah.
And make like honest, actual, like,
totally
connections.
Yes.
Totally.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now I'm just speaking up.
But it's true. Be real, you know? It's,
yep. Because people see right through that.
Yeah.
You
right.
know? At least we do, you know? But yeah. Yeah. Be genuine. Be nice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, luckily on tour, I feel like we haven't met very many mean people. You know, the majority of everybody that we've met are just so nice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they're great. Great, great people.
So what's after this show on the 23rd, which again I will plug, the 23rd, it's two stages, eight bands, more bang for your buck. Saturday, Year of the Cobra, Witch Ripper, Pound, Eris, Wangro, Glasgow, Don McCreevy's Sulfuric, and a band to be announced at the substation Saturday, November 23rd, the Ash and Dust record release party. You guys will have vinyl and CDs for sale.
That's right.
And all kinds of merch and all kinds of good stuff. Mm-hmm. And what's next for 2020? The decade is about to be over.
Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy. Because
this is the next decade is the decade of Year of the Cobra. Oh. Let's own this What's up for you guys? I mean, you know, obviously the record's new. Are you guys going to be doing lots of touring on it?
Yeah. Well, we hit the road in February. We're going to do the West Coast, which we actually haven't done in a long time, so we'll go all the way down to San Diego and probably loop back through Phoenix and Las Vegas and that little loop. We've got some festivals lining up, so we'll have tours around those as well. More shows, more smiles, more fun.
I would imagine so.
More music.
Yep.
Okay, so since we are here in the Northwest and we are in the Seattle area, obviously you didn't grow up here, but you are, you know, what an incredible scene you guys have, been nurtured here by. What's your favorite Northwest bands of all time?
For me, definitely probably would be Zeke. I love that band. Have for a very long time.
I mean, it's pretty obvious with your kid's name, right?
I know. We used to rehearse next to them.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That is a band that just, they're insane. Their music is so, like, it sounds insanely, like, fast and everything, but it's so tight. It's like a freaking metronome how crazy it is.
It's funny you say that because Jack and Dino's done, you know, their last few records, and he even says that. He's like, you know, Mark's ear is incredible. He'll hear something and be like, hey, go back. There's something wrong there. Jack's like, no, there's not. And he's like, sure enough, I'll look on the grid at Pro Tools. I'll expand it out and be like, oh, my God, it's like a millisecond
a blip
off. You know how did you hear that?
That's amazing.
So and how those guys play a set that long, that fast, and that intense is remarkable.
You guys are just like, let's slow it down a bit.
Totally.
It's
like
only with it.
We're getting old, man.
Right? Just lay with this groove for a while, man. How about you, Amy? What are your favorite Northwest bands?
You know, I mean, we always play with the ones that we love the most, truly. Yeah. You know, like the bands that we're playing with on this show is going to be awesome. You know, Eris is one of our favorites.
Oh, yes.
You know, Witch Ripper, we actually just ran into Brian two nights ago by accident.
That's awesome.
You know, and hung out all night long.
Killer.
So, yeah.
Was it at his restaurant?
No.
No, it was in West Seattle by our house.
Cool.
Just happened to go out to grab a quick beer, and Brian cruised in with his girlfriend. And
let's hang!
Yep, yeah, exactly.
It was great.
Cool. Right on. That's the cool thing is like is we can obviously look back at like some of the most like iconic bands like Soundgarden, Nirvana, or like Alice in Chains and be like, hey, that's my favorite Northwest band of all time. But like at the same time, what's most important is the bands that are killing it now that you can still go see for $15, $10, or even just check out pick up their CD at Easy Street Records and support the thing that's still vibrant and active, and bands that you can hear every week on Loud and Local. Cheap plug.
Well, they're out there. They're working hard.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
I like that. So this is a question. It's a trademark here of Metal Shop. So if you try to use this question in any other interviews, people that are listening, we know where you live. Trademark Metal Shop. What is a pick a scar on your body and tell us a story of how you got it?
I have a scar actually on my eye.
Oh my God.
You probably can't see it, but I got it because I was jumping on my bed or my mom's bed when I was really young.
You were not supposed to be doing that, Amy.
And I fell on her diamond ring.
Oh!
And it missed my eyeball. It's literally right like next to my eye.
Damn.
Yeah. So that's my scar.
Did you know that, John?
I did.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was going to say, that'd be funny if you didn't know. Damn. It's a surprise that you're not eye patch,
right?
Amy,
right?
Now.
Very, very close.
Wow. And how about you, John? What's the scar?
I've got a pretty decent scar on my belly. When I was younger, my dad passed away, and we got rid of his ashes on top of Mount Shasta.
Wow.
It was me, my brothers, and his best friend, and you know, even during the summer, there's snow on Mount Shasta. So yeah, we're coming down, and we had our pickaxes. We're sliding on our butts using the pickaxe as a brake, and I hit a bump, and it flipped me up, and it stabbed me in the stomach.
Oh my God.
At like 10,000 feet up.
Bleeding out.
Yeah. I'll never forget the look on my brother's face on his face when he came over and looked at it. Like, he just went white, and I'm like, oh boy, this is probably not good. And he immediately started ripping his shirt to tie it around my waist. I was like, oh, this really isn't good. Long story short, you know, obviously I got down fine and got to the emergency room.
Yeah.
And now I view it as this kind of cool, almost tattoo-like, you know, tribute to my dad. So
totally.
Yeah. Wow. Battled a mountain for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you battled a bed jumping for yours. Year of the Cobra is in studio. Their new album is called Ash and Dust, and it's available now. But if you want to stream it, if you want to check it out, you can purchase it. Prophecy Recordings. Is there anyone you want to shout out or thank before we close the book here on this final round of interviews before the big show?
Thank you guys, Metal Shop, and you and Ian and The Beard, for always supporting local music and helping us out.
Yeah.
Prophecy, our booking agencies, I guess.
Yes.
Tone Deaf and Swamp Booking. They do a lot of work for us. So.
Yeah, and Josh at the company who does all of our designs for us.
Yep.
and the coolest up and coming local band, Cat, what was it? Kitty?
Kittens of Doom.
Right. Kittens of Doom.
That's right.
And the yes.
Look out for their new single, Cats in a Tank.
Like I said, the record release show is two stages and eight bands, and tickets are available now. It's at the Substation Saturday, November 23rd. Year of the Cobra, Witch Ripper, Pound, Eris, Wayne Grow, Glassgoat, Don McCreevy, Sulfuric, and more to be announced. Let's end on another song. What's another song you can just throw out there that we should play on the record? How about the first one? It's about it's a song about cocaine.
That's a way cooler story.
The Battle of White Mountain, or what is it?
It took days to figure out.
Amazing. All right. It's Year of the Cobra. New music. It'll catch you at the record release show. It's Metal Shop on the Rock.
Cocaine.